covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
That's back-to-back wins. And I'm not sure the Brewers deserve to win, but they got the job done. And that's all that really matters. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio. Craig Gishon is with us once again. That is four consecutive wins for the first-place Milwaukee Brewers, now at 34-20. With today's 10-inning, 5-4 victory, they only led for the final three outs, Craig. That's kind of why I'm sitting here going, they committed two errors, they didn't, you know, the starter only went four, and yet they were able to outlast the Astros in a game that they did not play anywhere near their standard.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that in today's day and age that, you know, a team can win like this because, look, the Brewers are a pretty talented team. I've been saying this for a long time. I know you have too. Depth wins. And for whatever reason here tonight, their depth kind of let him down over at shortstop with a couple of errors here tonight. And it led to two unearned runs here in this game. But they were able to overcome it because no matter what they're doing, Dom, they just continue to be a gritty team. You know, don't give up, just chip away. Don't get down. And it just speaks volumes for how this team is led here right now. And, their leadership, goes from Murph in the front office all the way down, through just about every guy in that clubhouse. So you look at the box and five runs, only four hits, two errors, and yet they win in extra innings. That is remarkable stuff. And I know we're going to talk about the bullpen here, but, kudos to them. And great to see Churio hit that home run as well in the sixth inning to kind of bring him back in this one within a run at that point, too.
Yeah, it had been over almost 3 weeks since his first homer of the season, which was back in Minnesota in the middle of the month. So good to see him hit one hard. We'll talk about the offense a little bit in the second segment, too. But I think the story of today's game, like you just said, Craig, I mean, is the bullpen. And Colman Crow isn't totally at fault here. I think that, only two earned runs scoring against him with the key throwing error by Renjifo. And we'll talk about Renjifo, I promise. But DL Hall continues to trend upward. I know he walked two more batters, but he got out of it. No big deal for him. Did not allow a hit. In total, this Brewers bullpen went six innings, only allowed two hits. They walked three, but two of them were DL. And then they also struck out eight batters in those six innings of work in an extra inning game. And most importantly, they didn't allow a run to keep the Brewers in it when they were trailing 4-1, ended up coming back to win this game and scored the last four unanswered. The bullpen continues to shine. I thought for a moment Ashby was going to vulture his 10th win of the season there. Instead, it goes to Uribe. And McGill continues to trend upward. I don't even know where to begin with this great unit that we saw today.
Well, man, let's start at the very end because, McGill's in a situation where you're right. He is still building his way back to who he was. And I think you go back to who he was last year, not who he was this year, before he had, that period of time where things just kind of fell apart on him. But to come in the 10th inning, my worry for any pitcher, I think to me, especially a closer, is when you start the inning with that runner at second base in extra innings. And, that it's just a different kind of feel. And we talk a lot about, really how most important it is when a closer can get in to start that last inning or start that late inning with the bases empty, nobody out, and just start it clean. And it's not a clean start for anybody who has to do the extra inning. So he went after it, though. I mean, he really did and did a fantastic job in that inning, obviously picking up the save. But that's where I start with this one because you're right, the entire bullpen did its thing. And I'm looking at Uribe as well, Dom, you back up one more inning and first and second, nobody out and gets out of that, scare as well. I mean, that could have been disastrous, obviously. And I'm sure Houston was licking its chops thinking we got this one. But man, the bullpen was something. It kind of reminded me of the bullpen of kind of old over the last few years where you see guys come in the starting in the fifth inning and you get five relievers coming in and they're the ones that keep you in the game. lately it's been guys going multiple innings and you haven't needed five relievers, but this was a little bit of a throwback from a few years ago.
I think with McGill specifically, we sometimes have a little bit of revisionist history about him last season. And I'm not saying he wasn't triple digits last year, but it wasn't like he wasn't Jacob Mizorowski where he was sitting 100 miles an hour for an entire game. I mean, he averaged 99. I don't want to discredit that, but I mean, we'd see 98s and 99s from him. Now we're seeing 97, 98, and touching 99. And on Wednesday, he hit 100 against the Cardinals. But what I'm seeing that's different this year and what's starting to trend back in the right direction is the command with the fastball. The curveball still looks good, but the fastball needs to have the command where he can dot it at the top of the zone, get it called strikes. He got a key called strike when an opportunity for a challenge was there, but they did not get they did not have a challenge there in the ninth inning, I should say, for a rebound. But then in the 10th inning, they chose not to challenge a pitch on Alvarez that would have been really close, bang, bang. To have that command with the heater right now is so huge for him because he said it earlier in the year, I just need to get into better counts, because when he's falling behind and when he's in 2-1 counts, 2-0 counts, and he has to fall back to that heater, teams aren't going to be shocked and not surprised by seeing 97, 98 miles an hour. He's been super important to get back on track, and the stuff under the hood is looking a lot better as well. And for Uribe, I mean, that ninth inning was turned on a difficult blow, not entirely his fault because of the throwing error on Joey Ortiz. But yet, they managed that inning so well that they attacked the defensive replacement in Bryce Matthews, and they attacked Isak Paredes. I mean, to see Uribe, like you were saying, I mean, just to turn it up, saying, okay, let me lock this in. Bases loaded, one out, and he got ahead of the next two guys 0-2. That's exactly what you want to see from a guy with his back against the wall.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Uribe, by the way, also facing a potential suspension for his actions on that in on the homestand here most recently, and he's appealed that. And I really wonder, Dom, just having to go through that when that's all official now, what we are going to see out on the mound, and then you see the air to open things up, and then all of a sudden it's first and second, nobody out, and you're thinking, where is his head right now? And he did a great job of collecting himself. And I think this is where he is in his young career here. I think the blow up that we saw a few days ago, you know, hopefully was an anomaly and it won't happen again. But what a rebound from what he's gone through the last few days, what we saw in tonight's game. So that, you know, what's not to love about that? And I think, too, the final point on McGill that I really like that you made that's so important, especially in his situation right now, is just being ahead in the count and not falling behind, because it is for what he throws his two pitches, it is so difficult to make up for, you know, being down, you know, 2-0 in a count. I mean, it's just so important for him. It's important for every pitcher to be ahead, but you got to be in his situation and his role in the game for sure. So that's how kind of I'm looking at those, you know, McGill and Uribe here for the final two innings.
And I don't want to lose credit for Ashby, another strong inning. He had the first tough assignment getting Alvarez, and that left on left dominated him. I tunneled his sinker and sweep slider. Those looked really good. Grant Anderson with the quietest 1-2-3 inning, and he's not going to get any credit because the Twitter bomb wants to come after him only when he gives up one run every 15 innings. Like, Grant Anderson did his job today. D.L. Hall did his job today. I just think that the bullpen deserves to get some shine at the front of this show, because it's easy to overlook performances like that in a game that you win in dramatic fashion. Yelly's base running and Churio hitting homer. We'll talk about them in the next segment, but This team is still built on bullpen success and run prevention, and despite two errors keeping them from keeping runs off the board, the Brewers still found a way to win this game. 855-616-1620 is the phone number, 855-616-1620. So let's talk about that offense. There's some good, there's some bad, there's some funks that you're dealing with right now, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers win extras. They're not 3-2 in extra inning games. They've won four games in a row. And the offense hasn't really fired on all cylinders. Welcome back with Craig Kishon. I'm Dom Catronio. This is your Who's Hot, Who's Not. It's brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Wisconsin homeowners, are you thinking about a new cooling system? Sonder makes it easy. You can get a virtual quote in under 10 minutes right from home. With short and long-term financing options, you can call or visit Sider.com today. Families helping families since 1912. That's Seider.com. Look, Bryce Terang has been in a weird funk right now. Granted, he still drew two walks today, but he also struck out twice. Churio, his only hit today, left the yard, which is certainly good news. He did draw another walk as well. The Brewers only had four hits in this game, Craig, and they still drew six walks, which is the good news. I would like to see them hit the ball over the fence like David Hamilton did today too, but just sort of a weird stretch they've been in, getting no hit into the eighth inning on Wednesday, and now today, not the craziest day offensively, but who cares? Can't complain too much about W's.
No, not at all. I did obviously like the two home runs, though, tonight. I mean, there's no question about that. You know, are we going to see more? I'm not sure, but sometimes when you do hit the home runs and lean into them, you know, it's gonna be really productive if you have a really good pitching staff. So I think those two things certainly helped the Brewers' cause here in this one. But yeah, the funny thing about it is they've won four in a row, and we're talking about a team that's really quiet offensively here right now, which is a bit strange. But you know, by the same token, nothing seems to be strange for this team and how they put together ways to win. So they're grinding it out, I think, offensively here right now, and it just goes to show when you do, you know, hit the long ball a couple of times in a game. I mean, especially these guys, they just have a really good chance of winning a game that they didn't play well. And I don't know how else to describe this one. This is one of the maybe more odd victories of the season, if not the most odd victory of the season, just how they, you know, fell behind, how they, you know, didn't play well defensively, and, you know, the offense doing just enough. You know, it's a tough one with the offense, Dom. Not too many times you're going to see 5-4-2, you know, five runs, four hits, and two errors, and see this team on top and win. But they did draw six total walks. So, you know, for that part, mm-hmm. they did have some base runners.
And furthermore, 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position. And
yeah,
just think that, I mean, for as many opportunities the Brewers had in this game, they were really doing nothing. And you tip your cap to Tang, but like at the same time, the Brewers have had this weird issue this season. This is just a pure observation for me with East-West pitchers. And the definition of that to me is just like someone who relies on sliders, someone who relies on the edges of the plate and relies on chase, you know, horizontally. The Brewers have handled some guys that are more North-South type pitchers, you know, expect like high vert fastballs and splitters and changeup types. Whereas, you know, I think of the guys they've really struggled against, right? Dustin May on Wednesday, the sweeper was dominant. Today, Tang's sweeper was dominant. I think of Paul Skenes. Now, a lot of people struggle against Paul Skenes. I think of Dylan Cease. He's an East-West guy. I think of Sonny Gray back in Fenway. He's an East-West guy. So I'm wondering if there's something that's a bigger trend here, if there's something going on with the crew. But at the same time, the four walks got Tang out of this game in the sixth inning. Brewers started to generate some momentum, but we do have to shout out David Hamilton. I mean, going opposite field, long live the Crawford boxes. David Hamilton, any type of power you get out of him is considered a bonus to me. He is a role player that is playing a lot more than maybe even he expected to this point in the season. For his first homer of the season to go yard in his home state, that's got to be a great moment to celebrate.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. And you know, he's taking advantage, you know, for the most part of this additional playing time. You know, Joey Ortiz is right now, he's taking a seat on the bench and looking at what's going on. And so I think Hamilton and the chance that he has had here right now, we don't know exactly how the shortstop situation is going to play out, but you know, if you're David Hamilton, he's done everything that he can to help this club so far with his greatest tool, and that's his speed. But if definitely you're right, if he can lean into one, great. I think his defense, and I know that you know, he had the error here in tonight's game as well earlier, but I think his defense, Dom, out at shortstop too with this more playing time, he's making some nice plays. So you know, that the whole situation over there is a long conversation, and I know the left side is a continual conversation of that infield for this team as well.
Yeah, we'll have a deeper conversation about that left side of the infield in just a moment. But I do want to point out on a positive note for the Brewers, Garrett Mitchell continues to trend upward. I know he got pinch hit for by Andrew Vaughn in the situation that, quite frankly, I probably would have done the same thing to bring in Andrew Vaughn, who torches lefties. He flied out to right field there in the eighth inning. But for Garrett Mitchell, on base, all three times he came to the plate, including a hit by pitch, a walk, and a clean single. He got a pickoff caught stealing, but hey, he was going on first move, and the lefty picked him off. But Garrett, quietly, in the last 10 games, has been playing better. Here in, you know, the last few games, his batting average is near 400. His on-base is over nearing 500. He's not swinging and missing nearly as much. Are you seeing anything different, anything new from Garrett Mitchell and what could become the rest of the season for him?
Well, I mean, specifically, as far as what he does in his mechanics and whatnot, I mean, I just think, Dom, he's an individual that we haven't seen a ton, but I think just because of the injuries, I mean, just seeing him in the first 2 months of the season now has been like, you know, almost like a blessing, because every time I see him doing something right, I look at him and I'm like, look at the athlete in this uniform. He's big, tall, he's put together, he's fast, he's got the opportunity to, you know, drive a ball. We've seen that. He had a big home run the other night. But I think when I see what he's done and what I've seen what he's doing lately is I'm just seeing so much more confidence, to be honest with you. I mean, this guy is the center fielder, and he has been in the lineup a lot more, and he's hitting lefties a little bit better too. So, I mean, I'm just seeing the whole confidence package with him, and they need that right now. Chirio's not full blown since he came back from his injury yet. I know he hit the home run tonight, but and Sal Frelick's been relatively quiet at the plate as well for most of this year. So the outfield production as a whole has been rather minimal, in my opinion. But if this guy can find his niche, he's only going to do it by gaining confidence, and that's what I'm seeing here right now.
What I see for Garrett under the hood looks really good too. I know once he cuts down on the swing and miss, you're talking about the athlete that you're envisioning for Garrett. He leads the team in average exit velocity despite all that swing and miss. He has the hardest hit ball of the season for any player on the Brewers. He has the second highest hard hit rate. He has the second highest barrel rate. I mean, there's a lot to like from Garrett here. It's coming. I think you're right. Just giving him the chance to play, we'll learn more about him. Now, Churio's up there too on barrel rate, but once he qualifies, then we'll have another conversation about him. But let's talk about the left side of the infield. That's a popular topic on the text line right now. Get to some of those texts. Get to some of the live chat. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Brewers win 5-4 in extras on 620 WTMJ. Crazy night across baseball in the walk-off homer category. And the Brewers did not join that list, thanks to the bottom of the 10th inning with some gutsy pitch calling against Yordan Alvarez. 4 walk-off homers across Major League Baseball so far tonight. Pirates, White Sox, Mets, and the Rockies just walked off the Giants as well. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio with Craig Kishon. Our final segment with Craig, and a couple of texts here addressing the left side of the infield, so let's talk about it here now. It's our buying or selling segment, brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, WendorfTeam.kw.com. So, the left side. We've talked about it over and over and over, Craig, and it's a reminder about what the Brewers view their organization always views depth. They always treasure having somebody ready. And do they feel Jett Williams is ready? I don't know. He probably would be up by now if they felt he was truly ready. He did have a rough week down there in AAA. Not that we're really eyeing box scores like every single day matters to what you want to do into the big league level. But Renhifo with a throwing error today, he didn't really have great situational at-bats today, going 0-for-4 with a strikeout. He's really slowed down with the bat after looking like he was showing signs of life. I just remind everybody that the Brewers are a team, we've seen this consistently from them, they will hang on to every last shred of depth until they are up against the wall saying it's time to go. And I really think we are so close to that point right now. I fear for, you know, hey, it's a performance-based business, right, Craig? And I fear that it's coming to a point where if the offense isn't getting anything out of the bottom third of the order, something's going to change here pretty soon.
Well, I mean, in life of baseball, in really in pro sports, there is a clock, and it's a player clock, and there's only so much time left for certain individuals. I mean, he was brought in here basically to see if he could patch up, you know, a hole on this team, and I don't think that he's been able to live up to expectations. I don't think probably anybody does here right now. Maybe he just isn't there anymore in his career. But that clock has been ticking for a while, and I think we're getting into that probably that final minute, to be honest with you, because we're about to enter the month of June. And I know this organization is happy to get victories, but they're not happy to get these victories and feel lucky to get them because, you know, they're not getting production at a certain spot. They're going to go out there and find somebody, if not the promotion that you're talking about potentially, to take that next step and to take that next try. So to me, June is ticking, and there's no reason to wait another month from what we've seen the first 2 months of the season, that's for sure.
For one thing, though, I do want to remind fans of how this stuff works, too, when you think about DFAs and when you think about 40-man rosters and that sort of thing, is that I've seen some fans clamoring for Eddie's Leonard. Eddie's Leonard was a minor league signing, and he's having the best year of his career in AAA. I mean, this is something that is great for him. Normally, you think it usually works where, oh, you play well in AAA, go up to the show. It doesn't work like that always. There are politics. There are reasons why teams don't put you on, because he's on a minor league deal. He's not seen as a piece of the future. Jet Williams, Cooper Pratt, Luis Lara, they are seen as pieces of the future. Now, in regards of Jet Williams, a reminder that third base is not his natural position. He's an up-the-middle defender. Perhaps the Brewers are trying to see a little bit more out of him defensively at third base, trying to see, you know, what the versatility holds for him. Does he have to make an adjustment to going from playing every day in AAA to probably not playing every day in the big leagues? And I also remind everybody, a AAA slash line, you can probably at minimum, take about 40% off of it for your first 2 months in the show. Do you think that's a fair assessment there, Craig? I mean, I can't properly express how hard the jump right now is between AAA and the majors. The pitching is just nowhere near what it is right now in the show. There will be an adjustment period for no matter who you call up to the big leagues. I mean, Tyler Black still adjusts every time he comes up. Akil Baddoo couldn't stick around with the Tigers. Now he's down in AAA, hitting well against AAA because it's different pitching. You get what I'm saying here, right?
Oh, absolutely. And if you've done everything you can at AAA, and then you get up to the majors and you're really struggling, even going back to AAA, it might give you a little bit more confidence to, you know, get everything in tune and in line. But it's still, you're going to come back to the majors and it is going to be just a totally different situation. I think the other thing, you know, to me in my experience as well, Dom, I mean, look, the bottom line is if you're playing really, really well and there's nothing left for you at AAA, that's when you generally make the jump to the majors. The whole, we need this guy, it's time to promote him, we've got a spot for him. Not, we need this guy to come up here and play maybe part-time at this point. So they're in a little bit of a dilemma there. What they're looking at is potentially not quite ready yet, and it might take another month. I'm not sure. But I think, too, the position change for Jet Williams certainly has to play a little bit into the factor of where he is right now, and then thinking where he wants to be, where he thinks maybe he should be right now, and that might be at the big league level. So baseball can play mind games. I mean, there's no question about that. We see it all the time. So right now, that the stars aren't aligning, in my opinion, for all that to work out at this point.
Yeah, and a reminder on Jet Williams, again, he is not banging on the door saying, I'm ready, I have mastered AAA, send me up to the show. He's hitting 235 with a 353 on base, but he had a 460 slugging last year. It's down to 475 this year. Granted, the first month of the season was really cold across AAA and in the International League. He still is drawing his walks. He still has very good plate discipline. Perhaps there's something we always don't know. And a reminder, I'm not saying the Brewers are doing this, that Super 2 day, you know, when you can guarantee that he's not going to be enough service time days to be Super 2 eligible, that's in about a week's time. You know, we're about 70 days into the season. So once you get past that, you know, 115-day mark of the season, to guarantee you're not going to get past 115 days, then you're probably in that shape. So that's a conversation for another time, but that's just kind of putting it on your radar that in the next 10 or so days, you might see some other prospects get called up around the show. But I think we both are in agreement that the clock is ticking. The Brewers fans see it. We see it. It's a performance-based business. Hey, I thought Renifo was due for a bounce back. I sure hope he still helps this team win games. It's more fun that way when you're right, but I'll put my hand up and say I was wrong so far. But Craig, Sean, hate to end on a dud like that, but hey, tomorrow, Brandon Sproat is continued to show little signs of life, and he gets a big test tomorrow with a really heavy middle of this order for the Astros, and can see what he can do in Texas.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I thought it was great that, to be honest with you, is that Murph, you know, really publicly said after his last start, we're sticking with this guy. He's in the rotation. This is why he's here. And he's going to take some bumps and bruises. We all know that. But he's got a lot of talent. And the only way to bring it out is to give him these opportunities here right now. And the depth of the starting pitching in this organization is allowing for that. So if it's a test, I don't think it really is a test. I think it's a developmental progress with him. You know, it's going to be another opportunity tomorrow. And I really like this guy, but we haven't seen, you know, a ton of this blossom just yet. But if the club thinks it's on the way, I'm going to take their word on that.
Yeah, I agree entirely. Craig Kishon joining us on 620 WTNJ. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, my friend.
Okay, Dom, thanks.
All right. We'll talk a little bit of player of the game, get to some of these texts. We'll also hear from Murph. We'll also get the highlights as well. Brewers win 5-4 and 10 over the Astros on 620 WTMJ. A few texts here, and we'll get to our player of the game. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Going to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to put it in the hyperdrive here. Ringo and Goodman, solid win as they came tonight. So a third of the way through the season. Last in homers. Team batting average is a little down, 14 points from last year. Still on pace, though, for only 14 fewer runs. The pitching and defense on pace to give up 79 fewer runs than last season. You're right. The pitching has been really great. Good observations there, Ringo. From the 920, incredible showing from McGill. Still maybe not quite the velo he had last year, but love seeing the fire from him and love seeing him go after Alvarez like that. We had to earn this win a few times over. Huge credit to the entire pitching staff. I mean, I was openly thinking to myself, man, what do you do? It's the oldest rule in the book. You don't intentionally walk the winning run aboard, but it's Yordan freaking Alvarez. And Trevor McGill said, don't worry, I got this. I'll strike him out. So impressive. So impressive in that bottom of the 10th inning to earn that save. Mitch from Kenosha, happy about the win for sure, but the Brewers have to figure out third base moving forward. Should either be Jett at third or call up Pratt and move Hamilton to third full time. That could be a serious consideration as well. Remember, Joey can play third too. Keep that in mind as well. This one from the 414. The guys on the bench, not great tonight. Was surprised Mitchell was pulled, especially since he had such that key hit against St. Louis. Again, that was the situation because Vaughn hits lefty so well. It was less of an insult on Garrett, but more trying to get the Brewers to an even better run scoring situation. But Vaughn did not get the job done. Hitting is hard. And finally, from the 262, Yelich willed that run in the 10th inning. When he's healthy, he plays as hard as anyone in the league. It's very fun to watch, and it seems like he has a big impact on the rest of the team. You're absolutely right about that. I think Yelly is obviously the veteran leader in this clubhouse. It is, if it's not obvious, you're not in this clubhouse. And quite frankly, it's really fun to see when he's the one leading the charge and getting it done. So it's an interesting race for player of the game, brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive into summer in style. You can save up to 15 grand on select in-stock models. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. For me, I got to give it to McGill, man. I would give it to the whole bullpen if I could. I got to give it to McGill. You know, up by only a run, bottom of the 10th, placed runner on second base, facing the most dangerous part of the Astros order, Alvarez, Walker, Smith, and Pena, if anybody got on. 1-2-3, no big deal. I thought that was super impressive stuff from Trevor McGill. To see him get back on track is a key development for the crew. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next, and then highlights after that here on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 5-4. Crew gets the dub in 10. Let's hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, after a wacky game. They only led for 3 outs, but it was the most important 3 outs.
Murph, what do you think about the way Abner kept his cool with everything that happened today, the last couple of days, and then the situation that he faced?
Yeah, I mean, Abner, that's what he's capable of. You know, we didn't play defense behind him, but he settled in and did the job. And that's what we expect out of him. He's a major league pitcher, you know, with a really important role. We expect him to keep his composure.
Murph, there in the 10th, Yelly's legs, he can still move, obviously, you know, tagging up and taking two bags there.
That's the difference. There's a lot of underrated plays in the game, but those two were great. You know, the fact that he got to third on a short fly ball to center field, and the fact that he scored on a line drive to right, a kid with an incredible arm, just goes to show you that's how he plays the game. That won't show up in the box score as a hit or anything like that, but that offensively, that won us the game.
On the Churio one, Murph, did you sense he was going to go? That maybe was for sure a close call.
Kid knows how to play baseball, man. He has a great gauge for the game. You know, 12 years in the big leagues, using your legs. And, yeah, I know he's an MVP. I know he hit. Did he hit 40 one year? Did he hit 40 homers?
44.
44, okay. I know he did that. But there's not many guys that hit 44 and can still run the bases like that. Yeah, totally underrated for what he did for this game today.
Third time out there for Coleman now. Crow, what did you think about what he did for you?
It wasn't sharp today. Again, our defense let him down. That's a huge error. That's a 3-run error if you really look at it. You know, there's 2 outs, nobody on. You know what I mean? So then he goes 4 innings or maybe 5, you know, with 1 run. And he wasn't as sharp. He wasn't ahead in the count. He didn't have his good breaking ball all day. He didn't throw a lot of them. You know, I thought this was the worst of the three, but he still has a way. He's a pitcher. He still has a way of getting outs, and he got us 12 outs.
What do you think about the way the team was able to fight back after falling behind with that error there?
Yeah, I mean, we weren't sharp offensively or defensively. We weren't sharp today. But to win a Major League Baseball game against a team that's won 6 out of 7 and 7 out of 10 with that firepower in their lineup, just a credit to our pitching staff. They were great. You know, when you think about D.L. Hall, Anderson, Bashby, Uribe, and McGill, they were all very, very good, and that won us the game with Yelly's base running and contact. You know, Jack hitting a 2-run homer was big. But, you know, this is a game that could have went the other way. And, you know, Uribe made some big pitches at big time. That was another key. But, yeah, we didn't play good defense. Those are two plays that got to be made. Again, Contreras, give up Contreras. That's a long game to catch right there. Those 10 innings, 6 different pitchers, I think. And that's, it's a really good job on his part.
Agreed on all fronts there. Didn't play great defense and somehow found a way to get the job done. Brewers win. Let's relive it next with highlights on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 5-4, but they didn't play well. Let's explain with some highlights here on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho-ho-ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Coleman Crow getting the start for the Brewers against Kai-Wei Tang for the Astros. And, well, their right-hander got off to a great start, spelling a men on the corner situation without allowing a run at the top of the second. The Astros opened the scoring in the bottom half with a solo homer from Cam Smith. But the Brewers responded right back from an unlikely source at the bottom
Tang
of the order.
Ready in the 1-2. Lifted into left field, backing up Trammell. He's going to wait for it to come back to him, but it's not. It's out of here. Into the Crawford boxes goes David Hamilton for his first home run as a Brewer. And we're tied at one here in the third inning. Hamilton, the Texas Longhorn collegiate leads, back in the Lone Star State, and he goes deep in his first at-bat.
Making it 1-1. However, the Astros would score three in the fourth, aided by a key throwing error from Luis Renjifo, which should have been bases empty, two outs after a double play. Instead, it led to three runs, but the Brewers would slowly chip back, starting in the fifth inning, finally getting a mistake from Tang.
1-1. And this ball is hammered out to left center field. This ball is way back there, and it is gone. Jackson Churio, a two-run shot. And the Brewers within a run. It is 4-3 Houston here in the top of the fifth. That was the sweeper. That time it was not Tang's best friend. Jackson demolished that ball 431 feet out to left center for his second home run of the season.
Lane Grindle's call. Now, Crow was done after four. He would not factor into the decision. The bullpen was great for the Brewers tonight. D.L. Hall had the next two innings. He had three strikeouts and a key double play. Then it was Grant Anderson, a 1-2-3 seventh inning. The Brewers got back on the board in the eighth to tie it thanks to back-to-back walks against the setup man, Brian Abreu. Fly out, tag out, get him to third, get him over, get him in. RBI ground out for Jake Bowers. This game's tied at four, but it got stressful in the ninth. Abner Uribe, while appealing a suspension, had the bases loaded with one out, and somehow
Abner's 1-2 pitch. Slider popped up. Back of second base. Terang going out, calling everybody off. He squeezes it, and we go to extra innings in Houston. Abner Uribe punching his glove and pointing to the sky after he gets out of the bases loaded jam in the bottom of the ninth.
And no hip thrusts, thank goodness. Now, to the 10th inning. Place runner is Christian Yelich. A fly ball to shallow center by Churio. Yelly with an aggressive send to third. He got there with less than two outs on third, which was key for the next batter in Terang.
Lined in a right field. In comes Cam Smith with a play. Makes a chest-high catch. He'll come up throwing to the plate. Yelich is safe. Dives in. Throw wasn't caught by Vasquez anyway, and the Brewers get their runner home. It's a line drive sacrifice fly by Bryce Terang. Milwaukee leads it. First time tonight they've been in front, 5-4 in the 10th.
And then for the bottom half, no funny business. Trevor McGill having to deal with the meat of the order. Alvarez, strikeout. Walker, flyout with a man on third and two outs. Cam Smith, the last
McGill,
hope.
2-2 pitch. Swung on, tipped foul and caught by Contreras. Ball game over. 99 mile an hour high heat. Trevor McGill puts away Smith. And the Brewers score the final four runs of the ball game and a come-from-behind win in Houston. Houston, we have no problem. 5-4 Milwaukee in 10.
How about it? Brewers have won four in a row. They're in first place in the division. They're 34-20. We'll give you the preview for the rest of the weekend after this on 620 WTMJ. All right, let's get back after it tomorrow, shall we? Brewers will hand the ball to Brandon Sproat. 3:10 first pitch. We're on the air at 2 o'clock with Brewers warm-up. He'll be going up against Peter Lambert, who's been perfectly serviceable in his seven starts so far this season. He's been in and out of the rotation and a slow start to the season coming out of spring training. But here in the month of May, his ERA is near four. He does not strike out the world. He gives up a few walks. He had four walks in his last outing against the Cubs, but still earned the win against Chicago. Then on Sunday, the Miz gets the ball one more time in the month of May, going up against Tatsuya Imai, who's coming off of a combined no-hitter against the Texas Rangers. That game is at 1:10, and we are on the air at noon with Brewers warm-up. So plenty of Brewers coming for you this brief little weekend series against the Houston Astros. And right back home for a four-game set, singular series for the homestand against the San Francisco Giants. And Willie Adames back in town. And then back on the road for the West Coast trip of where pitchers want to hide. You go to Colorado and then Vegas as the Brewers are playing the A's in Las Vegas as part of Big League Preview Weekend. That's down the road. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock for Brewers warm-up. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Talk to you tomorrow. Keep on swinging.